What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
So I've been waiting a few hours to begin this podcast in this way, and I've never begun a podcast we've done in this way before. And Victoria is looking at me like, uh-oh, what's up his sleeve? So Vic and I were on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio today on separate occasions. Separately, just when you were signing off, I heard you say, oh yes, I'm going to do a podcast today with Ryan, the annoying Ryan. So I'm just going to say this to start this off on a good note. Vegas in five. How you doing?
So no, it's not. You're not an annoying entity unto yourself. You're annoying now because you did predict Vegas in five, and I don't want that to happen. And it's trending in that direction. So maybe your prediction, it's more that your prediction is annoying as opposed to you. And then you came on and you called me the same thing. And that there was no justification for that.
We have a really good relationship, people. We do. No, we We do. Anyway, Pucks and Seven. Here we go again. Right before game three, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton at Victoria Matiash. And catch Vic doing fantastic work as always on a major news talk station in Toronto, ESPN.com. The stuff on Sirius XM now too with Mick. And I do some stuff on Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio, Hot Stove, and The Kraken for the hockey writers, and a whole bunch of different things as well. So, We're going to do this in two segments again. We're going to find things to talk about, in the next one, because
there's lots to talk about.
A lot of off-ice stuff. The Flyers involved in this, Pierre-Luc Dubois. So we'll get into all that in a second. But let's begin, of course, with game three. Vegas up 2-0, Vic. Two games in, two wins for the Golden Knights. Tonight, and I said this on the show that I did just before we came on and did this, I said that this is the biggest game of the series for both these teams. Different reasons. One, Vegas would love to go up 3-0. You don't want to give Florida just a little bit of a chance early on, but the Panthers, they don't want to go down 0-3.
Oh, no, they're not going to come back. They're not going to beat Vegas 4 in a row. Like I said earlier, this isn't the 2004 Boston Red Sox. It's just not going to happen. They need to draw back. I would argue, you're right, of course, but I would argue this much bigger game for the Panthers
than it is
for the Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah, no.
Golden Knights can afford to lose this game. The Panthers can't afford.
But you see, I'm going to take it different. I'm going to say it's almost like Vegas cannot afford to do this because they know what Florida did against Boston. I know that was weeks ago. Totally understand that. They weren't down 0-2. They were down 3-1. So I'm just saying that's my take on it. I think Vegas is Bruce Cassidy's mindset to me and the team needs to be, we're down 0-2. Vegas is down 0-2. We need this game. And I know the Panthers are certainly thinking that way.
Okay, well, let's backtrack a little bit first here then. What's gone wrong for the Panthers in game 1 and 2? And what's gone right for Vegas to give them the 2-0 series advantage they have right now?
Two things. Actually, three things. Number one, the Florida Panthers are being, the lack of discipline has really affected them the first couple games. Matthew Tkachuk needs to stop doing what he's doing. He needs to focus in on not after the whistle. He doesn't need to push anybody. Don't give anyone a punch in the face or stop chewing that stupid mouth guard.
I know
that he does.
It bothers you so much.
But he's focusing more on chewing the life out of a mouth guard than he is on playing hockey. This is my thing. Matthew Tkachuk is a heck of a hockey player. No doubt about it. No questioning, no denying that at all. But in the first two games, I think the more important thing for him has been to do something after the whistle. Paul Maurice said today, we can't do that. We can't do that anymore. Second thing is, Bobrovsky has looked human the first couple of games. Third thing is that Vegas is just showing us why they're so good, their depth. 12 different players had at least 1 point in that last game. So those three things are shining for me in the first couple games.
They can absolutely roll out four lines, and every line is scary.
Easy.
It's even back to the Dallas series when you have the fourth line, the Kolesar line out there in that final game against Dallas. They look like a top line for another team.
Yeah.
It was actually rather ridiculous. They can roll out any one of their defensive pairings, any one of their lines. And I will say this, because I did not predict Vegas in five. I predicted the Panthers in seven, which is, you know, starting to really smell.
Right.
But it's not over yet, but it's not looking too great. And what I've noticed is, we were talking about it ahead of this series, making our predictions. We were talking about the Vegas definitely has the advantage in terms of their depth.
Yeah.
But Florida has their advantage in net with Bobrovsky, and they have that little bit of magic. And those two things have disappeared. We have not seen Sam Bennett do squat. I haven't noticed Alexander Barkov on the ice at all.
Is he playing?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, you almost forgot about him.
And I know.
He is such a fantastic player. You know, probably top five, top 10 in the league. He's amazing.
Sure.
And you haven't seen him. He hasn't been effective. He's been invisible, basically. Yeah. And their defense has just been run over. And that's the problem. I mean, I thought Bobrovsky was actually pretty decent in game one. He was not. He was shaky in game two. But in game one, he was beat. Because Vegas is able to put the body in front of the net. He can't see. The screen's there. And then the movement of the player on the point or somewhere else in the offensive zone, they're just going back and forth, and he can't get a good read on the puck. And his defense has to let him see it. That's the biggest thing. And they haven't been able to do that. And I don't know what the solution is. I was on another show this week, and said, how did they solve that? And I gave the most asinine answer ever, but it's true. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what they do. So it's, but they got to figure it out, and they better figure it out fast. He needs to get his eyes. He needs to make a big save early in game three, and he needs to get his confidence back, and then we'll see what happens.
So here's what's intriguing about what you just said. Aiden Hill has made the save. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's that could have turned the, I'm not going to say turn the series around. It's only been two games, but that could have turned the game around, right?
The Nick Cousins one, you mean? The paddle save on, on Nick Cousins?
Yes.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was, and I think Nick Cousins would like to have another a crack at one too. Because he was a little lazy with it, because I think he just thought it was going to go in. And then the incredible save happened, and I think he would like, and that game one just changes completely if that puck goes in the net, and maybe the momentum swings back and Florida figures it out, and who knows. But I will say this. You have been more correct about this than I have. You praised Aiden Hill more. And I have said pretty much leading up to this series that he has been good enough.
Right.
But the players in front of him have been excellent.
Yep.
And now I will say from in game two, he was excellent. He was excellent in game two, and he deserves all the credit in the world for that.
And that was great segue into what I was going to say based on you said about Bobrovsky and how the Panthers, you know, they need to get they need to allow their goaltender to see the puck. Bobrovsky's great, but when you see the puck, chances are you're going to stop it a lot more than if you don't see it.
A lot easier.
The Vegas Golden Knights are allowing Aiden Hill. They're doing two things that the Panthers aren't. They're allowing Aiden Hill to see the puck, and they're also blocking shots. Every series, by the end of the series, however many games this goes, I'm going to go back and look at all the amount of block shots that this team has had in the four rounds. They had 20 block shots last game. Florida had 11. So I'm just saying, nine more than the Panthers did. So what if two of those weren't blocked and what if they went, right? You just don't know. But the Vegas Golden Knights have a crazy way, and credit to Bruce Cassidy, of getting in the lane, the shooting lane, but giving Aiden Hill enough to see. If you think about it, you wonder, well, why can't the Panthers do that, right? It doesn't seem like it's that tough.
Start. They're going to have to start really fast. Okay, then let's get into that now.
Yeah.
What now? Okay, it is Thursday. It's Thursday, right? Yes, it's Thursday.
It is.
Game three is tonight. I know the game is tonight. I just don't know what day of the week it is.
No, I know. Yeah. It's someday.
Game three is tonight. So right now, what do the Panthers have to do differently to come away with a win and draw back into this series? What do they need to do?
Well, why don't we just let Anthony DeClaire tell us?
Yeah, I think the boys are just fired up, a lot of emotions. But at the same time, I think we just need to be a little smarter in certain situations. Last thing we want to do is, you know, keep getting penalties and putting those guys on the power play. Obviously, they got tons of skill, tons of talent, and can make us pay. So, you know, we're going to see, you know, a little smarter hockey tonight out of us.
He agrees with you. You just said exactly the same thing earlier, that they need to smarten up.
It's really simple. And in the Carolina series against with the Panthers, all those games were one goal, bunch of them OT, whatever. Could have gone either way, and I still maintain it to this day, but it was a sweep, they're done. But I just think that they're, even against Boston, even against Toronto, that whole, and I forget the Panther that said this a couple of weeks ago when asked about why do you guys continue after the whistle? Why do you do that? And he said, because that is our identity. Well, the identity is not working, and it didn't work in the first couple of games, and it got out of control and out of hand in game two. You may not completely agree, but to declare, he said, we can't be like that anymore. Paul Maurice said the same thing today. We've turned this into a physical series, which we don't need to. He said Boston was physical. We don't need to do this anymore. So that is the first thing they need to do. All the effort you put in after the whistle, put that into everything before the whistle.
I'm halfway there with you. I think too many of us are making too big of a deal over the game misconducts. Yes, I know he's racking up. We're talking about Tkachuk, of course. He's racking up the penalty minutes. He got booted twice. I mean, it is rather ridiculous, but he didn't earn a 10-minute game misconduct when they were down 1-0.
No.
The game was already out of hand.
Yeah.
So they do have to play more disciplined, but I just wonder if we're focusing on that a little bit too much.
I totally agree with you, but I'm thinking even before all of those misconducts. I'm just thinking all the things that happen.
All right.
Is there an unwritten rule in hockey that in the playoffs especially, at every whistle, you've got to do something. If it's in front of the net, you have to. You have to give someone a jab. To me, it's absolutely ridiculous. So all the stuff happening before the Tkachuk thing, all that stuff I'm saying you got to get rid of. That's what
all
I'm
right.
saying.
Okay.
So
I think first of all, game three, for the Panthers to win and draw back in, they've got to come out hot. And I mean hot. Like Vegas has come out the last three games, and I'm going back to game six against the Dallas Stars. They have got to come out super hot. It doesn't matter. They have to maybe take some risks. If you get burned, you get burned, but you got to come out hot. They have got to let their goaltender see that puck, and he needs to make a big save early on to get his head back in it, because Bobrovsky has been magical, but you could even see it in his face. I don't care about him getting pulled. That's fine. He's been around the block a few times. He's going to get his head around that. And Paul Maurice said they want to give him some rest, and that's great. But he needs to get his confidence back. A big save early on is going to help a lot with that. And they need to rediscover their forecheck. They have to rediscover their forecheck so bad, because it has been missing. We got to see Barkov. We have to see him in this game.
Yep.
Bennett has got to start banging around and not taking penalties, banging around. Nice, solid, clean hits. And then we need to see that. They need to be more aggressive. The forecheck, they need to rediscover what beat the Maple Leafs, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, the Carolinas is fine. I knew what you were saying.
Right.
There's a 33rd team now called the Carolinas.
The Carolinas.
No relation to the Carolina. I'm with you with that. What I do give credit to, and I will give credit to Vegas for getting the puck out of their defensive zone. They're very good in their zone. And even if it's a second earlier, and that second could be where Sam Bennett runs the body and where Sam Bennett takes the puck, right? So give Vegas credit, but I agree. The Panthers need to do a lot tonight, and if they don't, they're completely done.
Oh, it's going to be over early.
Yeah, it's going to be over. You're going to, you want this thing to go on, and you're at least going to one game that is guaranteed. It's game four. So you're going to go there on Friday.
I got really fortunate. My writing partner at ESPN Fantasy, Sean Allen, who I've worked with, we're going on 20 years now, so we're pals as well. He was he fell into the situation of getting a couple of tickets to game four on the weekend. And for some reason, he decided to take me. So I'm not questioning
it.
I'm packing my bag and I'm going to the airport. So we're going to make a weekend of it. We're going to go on Friday and we're going to come back Sunday. A little whirlwindy, but I've never been to a Stanley Cup final. I've only been to one live playoff game. And I've never been to a Stanley Cup final game, obviously. So I'm really looking forward to it. So either I'm obviously going to be rooting for the Panthers because it's in their building, and I think it would be rude not to.
Yeah.
But if Vegas does sweep, then I will see the Stanley Cup come out. So there's going to be something that will be obviously intriguing as well. But I hope we don't get to that. I want the Panthers to draw back in the series, not just for the game on Saturday, but because I want to watch hockey next week. And right now it looks like we might not.
No, you will, because Vegas is going to win in five.
Right.
So you're
right.
Right. You keep forgetting this. I know it's so annoying, isn't it? But we're going to see game five. So this is how it's going to map out. Vegas is going to win tonight, and then the Panthers will win the game that you will be at. That'll be a lively building, and they'll win, and then Vegas will take it back home in game five on home ice.
So your prediction for Thursday's game three, What do you think? You just said Vegas. What do you think? You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I think Vegas is going to win. I just think they smell blood. I really do. And again, Bruce Cassidy will have them wound up saying, look, as desperate as this team is, let's be as desperate to get it 3-0. Let's be as desperate as them.
Give me a score.
4-1.
Oh, you don't even think it's going to be close. Okay, I think, unfortunately, and I really, really, really want to be wrong. I do. I believe Vegas is going to win as well. They're too loose. They're having too much fun.
Yep.
They're talking about, they're laughing at practice. They're having the time of their lives. They know they can rely on each other. And again, like we just mentioned earlier, you can roll out any line. They're all dangerous. They're all doing their jobs. They're having the time of their lives. They've all bought in and they're good on the road. They're 6-2 on the road this postseason. So they're obviously not intimidated by playing in another team's building. That doesn't even seem to be a thing for anybody anymore, but they're obviously very comfortable playing away from Vegas. I think it's going to be close. I think this one goes to overtime. I think they edge it out in overtime, and I'm going to say 3-2.
Okay. 3-2. I say 4-1. And we...
Boo.
Oh,
boo.
Stop. Listen, if they end up doing this, if they win, fought, whatever it is, Vegas deserves it. They're playing great. But the Panthers, you can't count them out. They need this one tonight. 8 Eastern time, by the way, the puck will drop, well, probably 15 minutes after that, after all the
minutes. 20. It's like, oh my goodness. I go in, I know. Do the dishes, and then by the time they get around to it, don't even bother anymore. Just say that it's 8:25, and just because I get ready every single time, Ryan, I sit down, I'm ready to go. Then they have to do this. Then they have to do that. It's like the NFL, 1 o'clock. They kick off at 1 o'clock, Major League Baseball, 1:07. Guess what? They throw the first pitch at 1:07. Just stick to the time. Pick whatever time you want, but stick to it.
Feel better?
A little bit.
Okay. We'll take a break. Vic needs one. We'll do some off-ice stuff. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Alex DeBrincat, the Flyers, Kevin Hayes, Carter Hart, a bunch more too. We continue Pucks in 7. Ryan Payne, Victoria Mattiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Mattiash.
I am Victoria Mattiash. He is the ever annoying Ryan Payton, his predictions. Well, I have to now. At least his predictions are annoying and I don't want them to come through Vegas in 5. This is Pucks in 7. We just wrapped up the series, the Stanley Cup final series that's going on. We're heading into game 3 is tonight. It's Thursday. And the Panthers basically need to win or else this is going to be over pretty soon because coming back and beating Vegas 4 straight is going to be very difficult. But now we're going to switch our attention. So there's lots to watch tonight and to enjoy. And hopefully this series extends itself and Vegas in 5 doesn't happen. But let's turn our attention off ice. There's more going on than usual, it seems, this offseason so far. Usually you wait and they're playing the hockey and we're all watching the hockey and then you get to the draft and then usually the conversations start to emerge more around then. But we're getting an early taste of it now and basically learning confirmation today or even if it was late last night that Pierre-Luc Dubois does indeed, it's not really a huge secret, but now he said it out loud, want to trade out of Winnipeg.
He's, I don't know what the word is.
He's a funny duck. Okay.
Well, there you go. Perfect. So those two words are fantastic. Or fanquastic. How about that? Anyway, that was terrible.
The fact that it was off the top of your head is somewhat impressive. So we'll continue on.
Yeah.
He is. He's a different guy. I'm just going to say that.
RFA, he wants out, had a one-year deal at $6 million last season. We know what happened in Columbus, all that type of stuff. To me, this is what I think. There's no doubting the talent he has. I think he has a lot of talent. So everybody watches him. But he's one of those people, one of those players. We see a lot of them over the years that when you're on the ice, you're just not, he's just not, I don't think, committed as he should be. If he committed himself 150%, this guy could be a real stud in the NHL. I don't think he's the best in the room. Winnipeg, by the way, as well. Remember, so you strip the C off of your captain. Paul Maurice, your coach, says, I'm just not the right person to lead this team, so I'm going to go, good on you, Paul, good move. You're in the Stanley Cup final. And then you get to the postseason, don't do well again. There's rumors Connor Hellebuck isn't going to be there with the team next year. One more year left on his contract. And now you have this with Pierre-Luc Dubois. So I'm not surprised at all. Whatever team he's going to, I hope that he goes to a team that is surrounded or something. There's somebody there that can just kind of whip him into shape. Not physically, but say enough's enough. Like, you're talented. So try to do something to stick around and stay with us.
I'm with you pretty much. He's, he was drafted third overall. So obviously the expectations
something.
Are there.
Yeah.
He basically had one good season in Columbus. One really good season in Columbus. He's coming off a pretty decent season with Winnipeg. But when you're perpetually unhappy, you have to ask the question, is it you or is it everybody else? Right?
Right.
So
right.
This is my, now I'm not giving up on the dude because he is a fantastic hockey player. He's also still only 24 years old. It yeah. blows my mind because he's been in the league. It feels
he
like
seems
forever.
Older than that. Yeah.
Well, he's been around for so long now, but he's still yeah. only 24 years old. And that we all know that's still a kid. I was a kid when I was 24 years old. So this is now, he's going to go somewhere else. Maybe it's Montreal. I know that's a story that a lot of people want. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not. We'll see. But he's going to go somewhere else. And this is now when I'm saying to Pierre-Luc Dubois, now you got to show up. And there's no more complaining. And now let's see what you got. And you got to buy in. And you do have to give 110%. And because this is your third time's a charm team,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So now it's put up or shut up time. We knew it was happening. So locker cleanout day, he's standing there. And it's like, he's not wearing a stitch of material with the Jets logo on it. He has a hat with
nothing.
Something else on it. And you knew yep. he was out of town. At least get this deal done now so everybody can move on. The Jets know what they're left with and what they get back, and he can move forward. But now's the time to really show us what you can do and be a good teammate and help your new team out.
I know he wants to go to Montreal. That's mm-hmm. intriguing. As of right now, they have about $725,000 of cap space. And if you're coming off a 2-year deal at 10, then a 1-year deal at 6, what's that deal going
to
look like?
Well, they're going to
so
have to
as of right
out.
Now, there's no...
No, they have to
exactly.
move somebody
so
out. Somebody's going to come the other way.
Yeah.
So it would be yeah. interesting.
So
but
do you want
to
do
I
that?
I think it would be interesting because then now you're going to go, okay, he's like a local boy, right? So now you get to play for the team that you
yeah,
cheered
yeah.
for growing up. Now let's see. Now let's see. And let's see. Because he does. All the physical tools are there. And centers like that just don't grow on trees. Like he's got to.
No,
it's
all
up here. He's got to go next level. But I'm glad that they're doing this now, though. And we're not speculating month after month after month
right.
after month. So now just get the deal done. I like the fact it's come out before the draft because that, of course, could play into it. And let's see where he ends up moving forward.
And a lot of people may think that, you know, he shouldn't say anything about he wants out, all that type of thing. But I think that's
it.
Fine. No,
I don't
either. And to your point about doing it now, I think that's great. Don't hold off for 2 months. Say, oh, now all of a sudden, don't do that. Give them the respect to say, it's not working for me. Try to figure out something to do. Speaking of that, Alex DeBrincat, Pierre mm-hmm. Dorion said this last week. He said that we'd love to sign him. We'd love to keep him, but we are in a cap season. We are in a cap world. So he's up against the cap. So that's not happening. There's a list that he gave his agent, and his agent's basically giving it out saying, yeah, you know, we want to be dealt here. We're not going to find a contract that fits.
I'm a little bummed by this one, to be perfectly
right.
honest. I like him as
Why?
A player. I like him as a player, and I liked the move in the first place of him joining this young core of players in Ottawa, and he seemed to fit. And I know he didn't have a banger of a season, not compared to what he accomplished with Chicago. He was fine. He had a good season.
66 points in 82 games.
I
not
mean,
bad. Not bad.
But it's not like, however, 40,
know.
You know, he's not
it's
the 40
not
goal scorer.
It. Yeah.
No. So I would have liked to see him have another go because Ottawa is a team on the rise. I mean, we're all yeah. excited about who's going to buy them and they're going to take this new direction forward. And I just think he's a really good young player and I would have liked to see what he could accomplish there. But numbers are numbers. Dollars are dollars, and
yep.
you have to make it work. So it's unfortunate. But somebody is going to get a really good hockey player, and he's still really young as well. I think the fact
yep.
that he's been around with Chicago for a while, we assume, you know, but he's not getting up there. He's a kid. He's a baby.
I remember the trade. Remember the trade that they were involved with Chicago. It shocked me. It did that Chicago was doing that. But if you look back on it, Kane's not going to be well. I think Kane is going to come back. Just to be honest, we can talk about that some other time after they get Bedard. He'll come back. Hey, let's try to do whatever. Taze is out. So Dorion said this, and then we can move on. He said, and this pretty much covers everything. He said there's a situation where we sign him long term. There's a situation where we qualify him at 9 to a one-year deal. There's a situation where we see if we're not making progress, we're going to do our due diligence and we may trade him. So everything, the whole point of that is he's thinking every single situation, all the eggs in one basket.
Anyway. It's going to be interesting. And I'm going to be curious to see where he lands and who he's playing with, because he has 40 goals in him for a season. So we'll see. We'll see how that unfolds once more. And then we're talking about trade speculation, but what about the big deal that was done? So three-way trade, Columbus, Flyers, Kings, a bunch of pieces moved around. I suppose maybe we'd say the marquee piece is Ivan Provorov, who got traded eventually. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter how it happened. He is now a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah. And I quite like that. I like this deal from every aspect. I think every team got what they wanted out of it. That's how good trades are supposed to go down. And we listened to Danny Briere, the new general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, running the show, driving the ship there, and what he thought about dealing pretty much one of his best defenders.
You know, it wasn't an easy decision. Ivan has been, a really good soldier for the Flyers for a lot of years. A lot of sweat, a lot of hits he's taken, a lot of pucks he's blocked. So he's really poured his heart out into the Flyers. So it wasn't an easy decision. But, for us, what we were looking at is young guys and picks. We've said it from the beginning. So that was the major reason behind it.
I'll say this about Danny Briere. He's not holding anything back. He's not afraid. And I admire GMs that make a move like this. And to your point, I think it's a good deal all around. I really do. But the Flyers need to do this. They need to be patient. And it's not only Provorov that they were in the talks within the mix, but Carter Hart's name is in the mix. Kevin Hayes' name is in the mix. Travis Konechny. I mean, everybody, it seems. So if it's... I just think about this now. Is this team in a rebuild, Vic?
Oh, he's used the word several times.
Okay.
And I love that. He says it because so few GMs like to say it out loud. Oh, we're just going to tweak a little bit. Oh, we're still, we want to remain competitive. And he's saying, screw that noise. We are in a rebuild. Flyers fans are going to have to be a little bit patient, but we're going to be good. And we're going to start with draft picks and prospects and younger players. And he does. He wants to build his own team. And I kind of like the moxie, to be perfectly honest. I like the fact that he's taking this approach. He's owning it. And he's not dealing with, he is our best defender, so we can't move him. No, you can. If you get the right return, and I think they got a heck of a return,
they did.
In terms of the draft picks and the prospects. So, and now they can start that rebuild. You're using the R word. Oh my goodness! But it's another R word. It's
so true.
It's absolutely refreshing to hear them actually say it out loud. I like the deal a lot. I like the deal for Columbus too, because Zach Werenski has just had to do way too much. And I know he didn't play much last year, just a handful of games because he was hurt. And look how much success they had without their top defender. Columbus stunk, right? Yeah. So the fact that now he's going to have another player of, I would say, a high caliber, nothing against Goodbranson and Peak and the rest of them, but just in terms of like that really good defender that can sort of do it all, it's going to take a lot of the pressure off him. And when he does get healthy again, I think he's going to look forward to have, I don't know if they're partnered or not. I imagine it would be, but we'll see how that all unfolds as well.
And part of the deal in Philly, Cal Peterson. So he's there. So that Carter Hart, he has one more year left. He's a very tradable commodity, I think. I think there's a ton of talent with him. I really do. I think he's been a product of not having a very good team in front of him. I do think he has a ton of talent. Same thing with John Gibson. Anaheim, get him out of town. John, admit it. You want out. And I think there's rumors saying now, I do want to trade. I've said this to you so many times on this podcast.
You have.
He is just wasting away in Anaheim. He's been there for a long time. Enough's enough. You got the second pick. Big deal. You're going nowhere next season. John Gibson, find somewhere else.
He's lying on the beach. He's like, feel better?
Yeah, I do. This has been so therapeutic, this podcast.
I think he likes lying on the beach. Honestly, I think he loves the lifestyle. I think Gibson would not still be there if it wasn't for the lifestyle. But I will say this about Carter Hart. I am not making a decision on him yet, one way or the other. He's still too young. Like you said, volatile players out in front
24.
Of him. We 24. Haven't seen, I mean, for a goaltender, that's two. You know what I mean? Like, you're not. Yeah. And we've seen flashes of brilliance, and we've also seen him fall to pieces. So I would like to see him with more consistent defending out in front of him and see what he can accomplish somewhere else. You know where I would love to see him? I'd really like to see him. It's not going to happen. Buffalo. I really want to see him in Buffalo. I just don't think, and we don't know what Levi is yet, right?
Right.
Just, but we do have a better idea of what Carter Hart is, in that it's another team on the upswing. And I think that would just be fresh start central. And he would be the number one compared to Lukanen, right? So he's going to be number one.
Excuse you. Yeah.
I say it fast because I'm always scared I'm going to stumble over.
I know.
It's also an awesome name.
It is.
So I don't think it's going to happen, but if he landed in Buffalo, I would get pretty excited. I would, if I was a Sabres fan, I'd get really excited about that.
I would love that. And I'll say this too, wherever Carter Hart lands, hopefully he's going to a team that is on the upswing. Not saying that Philly isn't, but they're going to take a bit more time than Buffalo, for example. This is a year for him to really push and get a contract next season, and not say reclamation project, but prove to everybody that you are a good quality goaltender. So I think Buffalo would be great, but we shall see. Out of time. We're going to get back at it. You have safe travels off to Florida on Friday, and then you got game four coming up on Saturday. Game three tonight, don't forget, it'll start at 8:43 Eastern. No, 8. I don't even. Yeah, you can guarantee you that if you're waiting, Vic's going to be pacing around the house thinking, just drop
it's such
that.
A big game. It's I know, such a big game. And then you sit down at 8 again. I'm not going to sit down until 8:25. I'm not.
Watch all right.
A little bit of pregame, and then we'll get ready to go.
And we shall see. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Mattiash. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the SiriusXM app. Enjoy game three tonight. We'll talk to you in a few.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.